All right, it is Tuesday, September 9th, and the day that you've been waiting for has finally arrived. The 49ers admit defeat and have waived kicker Jake Moody. This is something that should have happened probably in the offseason, probably should have happened at the end of last season, but they really tried to make fetch happen. I'm glad. Here's the thing. I'm glad that they got here. I do not like the journey they took to get here. We're going to talk about all that, but welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for joining us once again here on Damon Bruce Plus. If it's your first time here, welcome. It's great to see you. Thank you for stopping on by. If you are a regular, it's so good to see you again. Thank you for coming on by. It really is great to have you here. As always, we're brought to you by Ike Sandwiches. My man Ike has got something absolutely delicious waiting for you at one of his sandwich shops, and I want you to find out for yourself. And when you do, sign up for that Love Rewards program. You update that app, you get a free sandwich when you sign up, you get prizes with each and every purchase, chance to win free chips and drinks. Do it over at Ike's. And again, if you want a little something with a football feeling, he's got football collaborations and sandwiches that have been inspired by Jeff Garcia and a Willie Gault, for goodness sakes. Go get that Willie Gault. I bet that's a fast sandwich. I hope there's no Jake Moody on the menu, and if there is one, it needs to go. But there you go. Get yourself to Ike's, and please do it today. Our good friends at the Dubliner West Portal. Let me give them full, look, I don't even need to put the logo up. I am a logo for the Dubliner today. I'm wearing the t-shirt. Get yourself to the Dubliner West Portal in San Francisco. Phenomenal bar, great friends all around, just a great spot. And join us there, please, on October 4th at 4:20. Can you remember that? October 4th, 4:20. It's a Saturday. It's the Saturday after the 49ers and Rams Thursday night game. Palloosers meeting up. We're going to be safe. We're going to have a really good time. And I hope that you can join me and Jillian there on October 4th. My wife will be in tow. We're going to come and hang out and say thank you for all the support that you have given me and this channel. It means so very, very much. And speaking of supporting this channel, we want to welcome again our newest sponsor, Sleeper, to Damon Bruce Plus. And right now you can get $100 deposit match on your first deposit, up to $100 when you use promo code Damon over at Sleeper. Please click on the link in the description of today's video and just know that Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy gambling betting app out there in the world. It is phenomenal. It's easy to use. The user interface is very friendly, incredible, up-to-date stats, the ability to really build a community and chat with your friends as everything's going along, like Sleeper really is phenomenal. Check it out. Download the app. And then use the promo code Damon. Use the link in the description of this video. It's great to have Sleeper aboard. It's great to have all of you aboard. Thank you so much for being here. And as I was saying, so kickers are like modern televisions. I'll explain. See, there used to be a vocation in life that was called a repairman. And you would need a repairman to come and fix your TV or fix your refrigerator or your washing machine or your dishwasher. And the repairman was there because buying something brand new and starting over was never cost effective. It's going to be cheaper to repair what I've got than go get a new one. Well, that changed. That's changed in America, and I don't know exactly when. I don't know if we can pinpoint the date where the Maytag repairman got replaced by the concept of just going and buying another Maytag. You know, the production costs came down on televisions that the thought of repairing a television became absurd. You just go and get a new one. And, you know, we're a society that I think certainly here in California, we believe in, you know, being conservationists and recycling and not just throwing things out, but when it comes to big pieces of technology, again, you don't get anything repaired. You just go get a new one. And that brings us back to kickers. You know, sometimes you can fix them, but probably not. And when in doubt, when you got a kicker that's broken, you just go get a new one. That's it. You just go get a new one. That's how it works. That's how it's worked historically. The teams that have tried so hard to, you know, make a kicker a really important part of their team building process by spending a high draft pick or big dollars on a kicker, that you should never do either. Kickers don't even need to be on an NFL field. Kickers don't even need to know a single guy in the locker room outside of their holder and long snapper. Kickers can get ready for a season on a high school football field. That's what Matt Prather was doing just to, like, last week. And then he shows up in Buffalo and wins a game. Kickers don't even need to be considered football players or members of your football team. They are all pay-for-play hires that you easily walk away from the minute you don't like what you're seeing. And what the 49ers were seeing on Jake Moody could not be liked by anybody. I mean, it's seriously ridiculous. 32 games of Jake Moody was about enough. And, you know, considering that he was 6 for 16 on his last attempts over 40 yards, 6 of 16 on attempts over 40 yards, 12 of 23 overall, that's 52%. Now, 12 of 23 is a hell of a week at the plate for Major League Baseball. As a kicker, it means you should have been fired 2 weeks ago. That's unacceptable. It's just unacceptable. Now, look, there's no need to dance on Jake Moody's grave here. It's not like he did anything wrong. He just wasn't accurate. His big leg wasn't enough to carry the conversation as much as he wanted to or hoped to. It's obvious that it was not happening. Joe Sullivan says, no Moody bottle pulls for me today. I don't even have a bottle of whiskey down here. That apparently got waived too. But yeah, we're not doing any bottle pulls for Moody. Don't need to worry about that. J1's Cal. Not defending Moody, but the moment he made that tackle during the kickoff versus the Cardinals last year is what ruined his career. I think it's part of it. I think bad special teams permeated itself to Jake Moody that day. You know, Moody is easy to identify as the guy who's not getting it done. But the amount of tackles that got missed that allowed Moody to have to put his head in to make a tackle, yeah, I mean, it's all connected. Bad special teams defines the 49ers as much as memories of Joe Montana and Jerry Rice do. As I told you right at the top of today's live stream, I'm really glad that the 49ers got here. I just don't like the journey that they took at all. They had to do an awful lot of lying to themselves and to us along the way to try to speak this Moody thing into actually happening. And it just lets you know that the 49ers' convictions really don't have that much conviction behind them. Now, maybe the private stuff that we don't hear about, that is, you know, a ton of conviction and they see it through. But let me just say, if you really, really thought that Jake Moody was the right guy for the job, after missing a field goal up in Seattle, and then even Shanahan saying, I'm not blaming him for the blocked field goal. So, you know, yes, he missed two kicks, but really, as far as Shanahan's concerned, he only missed one. If you really thought this was the right guy, you're not waving him after one missed kick. So what you're telling me is you never really had that much conviction about him in the first place, but you acted like your conviction to him was the bond that will never be broken. So, like, which was it? Which was it? I mean, I'm really glad that you used all observable data points and the frustration that your own team had exacerbate from them. I mean, you had guys with effervescent, easy to identify Jake Moody frustration. You had thrown helmets. You had, you know, the body language of fuck all over that sideline when Moody was missing field goals. So maybe that's what woke Shanahan up from this fever Jake Moody dream that he was having. Again, if you really thought that he was the guy, you're not waving him now. So you clearly never really believed he was the guy, which means you should have let that kicker competition go on longer than you allowed it to. The 49ers will tell you that the reason why that kicker competition didn't reach its natural conclusion is because of all the roster machinations that they had to do because of injuries and Juwan Jennings, again, not figuring out what's going on with Juwan Jennings, affected special teams. Because you said goodbye to Greg Joseph earlier than you had to or you wanted to, and a kicker competition that Greg Joseph was winning, by the way, all of a sudden, poof, up in smoke, never even existed. Jake Moody's the guy. That's how much we believe in him. Yet he doesn't even make it to week two. Doesn't even make it to week two. If you're cutting a kicker after you win a game in week one, before you even get to week two, again, your convictions are definitely up in the air to be discussed. What are you guys doing? What is the thought process? Does one day's thought pattern have to connect to tomorrow's thought pattern? Or is every day allowed to be its own individual vacuum of thought and decisions which don't affect other days around it? It's kind of nuts. DVDV says they kept moving the goalposts, but even then, Moody kept missing. Yeah. They even moved the goalposts on the kicker. Very good. Joseph Ehrenberg, old and or glass made players litter this roster. Old and or glass made players litter this roster. Well, I guess that brings us to what was going to be the thumbnail topic and what was going to be our opening A block topic. And that was going to be how the injury bug is literally feasting on the San Francisco 49ers. But then we had Jake Moody. So that changed things today. Tad saying, call Robbie Gould. Now, Robbie Gould doesn't want anything to do with kicking anymore. He's out of the league. What you do is bring Greg Joseph in from whatever hotel you were stashing him in Santa Clara and have Greg Joseph kick. That's got to be the guy. That's got to be the phone call that they've already made, right? The guy who lost the kicking competition without actually losing the kicking competition has got to be the guy that you call first. Again, Robbie's coaching high school football. He's busy. He doesn't have time for the NFL anymore. He's coaching high school football. By the way, I love that for Robbie. I hope he's enjoying it. Robbie never really loved being a 49er or being out here. He lived in a hotel. He didn't want to come to the West Coast. I would say this to Robbie. You don't want to be back in Chicago, though. God, that Bears game last night was just so frustrating. Caleb Williams, I don't know. Ben Johnson, I don't know. Bad first impressions all around. Jake Moody had to go. He was becoming not just a guy who missed kicks and affected games. He was becoming a guy that was affecting the credibility of the locker room. He was a guy who was affecting the credibility of this front office. Again, they had so much conviction about him, but then that conviction was negotiable after one missed kick, which means your conviction was debatable in the first place. And that means you got the wrong guy in the first place. It was easy to identify Nick Moody as the wrong guy. They tried hard to make it happen. I get it. You know, him missing a point after touchdown, which would have won a Super Bowl and prevented it from going into overtime. You know, that wasn't enough to let him go. You go through all of last year. He gets hurt. He's awful around being hurt. That's not enough to let him go. You bring him back. Again, I think everyone had good intentions here. But I can also tell you that if you draft a kicker in the third round, you don't know what the fuck it is you're doing. Any GM who drafts a kicker before like the last two rounds of an NFL draft should be fired immediately. You don't draft a kicker in the third round. You draft a football player. Guess what kickers will never be? Football players. They're kickers. They're just kickers. It's all they are. And again, it's just like a cheap television. The minute the one that you got starts blinking or glitching, you, without emotion, replace it with something new. That's how kickers work. Lorenzo Pinto, putting $5 in the ganja jar. Thank you very much. Appreciate you, DB. Longtime listener. Looks like Jed and Kyle said, do it or else. I mean, I wonder who really was it. Who was the person who pulled the trigger on this decision? Did it come from up top? Did it come from Kyle? Did it come from, you know, Brant Boyer? Did it come from John Lynch? Who was the first person to have the balls to stand up in the 49ers team meeting and say, hey, guess what? It's obvious this guy's not good at the job. Should we do something about that? Or do you want to go to New Orleans with someone who's obviously not good at the job? Who did it? Who had the big balls this week to give the 49ers the religion that they should have had 6-7 months ago? I mean, seriously. Cheers. Bonsoir, which is good evening. Bonsoir, you know, fare thee well. Happy trails. By the way, I hope it works out for Jake Moody. I hope some team picks him up and he totally becomes a serviceable 10-year-long NFL kicker. And oh, by the way, if he does do that, isn't it a damning bit of evidence to how bad the 49ers are on special teams? Like, what if Jake Moody does show up in another location and becomes a Pro Bowl caliber kicker? If that doesn't show you how little attention the 49ers have paid to their special teams, I mean, what else do you need? How about this? We have week one of this year to prove to us implicitly that the 49ers really aren't good at special teams. You know, you can bring in a new coach, you can bring in a whole bunch of new people to fix it, but you guys just kind of forever suck at it. So is that going to change? Because it hasn't yet. Maybe a new kicker. How about this? Bring in a new kicker. Bring in Greg Joseph. You know what Greg Joseph wouldn't do? Make the tackles you asked Jake Moody to make. No kicker is going to help your kick return coverage, your punt return coverage. And those are as big of problems, if not bigger problems, than your kicker, who you finally admit was a problem and you move on from. PWS says, Jake Moody is not him, but Sebastian Janikowski, he went round one. And even though Sebastian Janikowski, I believe, is the, you know, largest point scorer in Raiders history, that was a terrible draft pick. How many Super Bowls did the Raiders win with Janikowski as their kicker? Terrible draft pick. Taking a kicker in the first round of the draft. You should be shot out of a fucking cannon. Are you kidding me? Derek says, would Justin Tucker be an option given his troubles? Here's the thing. If Justin Tucker were still a good kicker, he could sexually harass all the masseuses he wanted to, and they would have figured out a way to still have him in Baltimore. Justin Tucker's problem isn't that he's asking for reach arounds. It's that he's missing kicks now. So I don't think Justin Tucker is an option. Then when you put on the, hey, lady, can you put your pinky in my ass? When you put all that on Justin Tucker, he's definitely not an option. So there you go. No sexually molesty kickers allowed. That should be obvious, right? That should be pretty obvious. So let's get to the other thing that's bothering the 49ers. Again, the injury bug. Look at it this way. The injury bug mostly around the NFL has nibbled on a team here, noshed on another team there, shown up, flown around the team, decided not to have a big bite and flown away. You know, the injury bug isn't supposed to land on your forehead. But this is the 49ers. And as far as the 49ers are concerned, to injury bugs, they're the Golden Corral. They're an all-you-can-eat buffet. The 49ers' biggest rival is not the Rams. It's not the Seahawks. It's not the Cowboys. It's not the Packers. It's not the Eagles. It's injuries. Their own injuries are the 49ers' biggest rival, without a doubt. And now George Kittle. is on injured reserve. He's been placed on IR that came out this morning. Kittle is going to be out weeks with a hamstring. Look, you might as well put him on IR. You might as well really rest him and try to get him all the way back to being better. Those hamstrings linger on players who have never been injured, much less a player with lingering injuries like George Kittle has watched his career, you know, been defined by almost. You know, Kittle's going to the Hall of Fame. Imagine if he had never been an oft-injured player. What would that Hall of Fame resume I've already looked like? As important as Kittle is, as much of a mascot and the soul of this team as he is, as much as you always want George Kittle healthy and out there, that's no big whoop compared to the news we now have on Brock Purdy. And look, maybe this is no big whoop. I don't know. But Purdy is now iffy to play in New Orleans. You know, this is a guy who after the game, when he spoke to reporters, led no one on to anything being wrong or injured. He offered no clues at all to the got hurt in the game. No clues at all. Shanahan says Purdy has a left shoulder and toe injuries, with the toe being the more serious of the injuries. So he's now going to be watched all week. Again, the 49ers, another injury we were told about. Nobody actually saw it happen. Told about after the fact. And it could be Mac Jones time going into New Orleans. Now, here's the thing. That actually might not be the worst thing that ever happened, getting Mac Jones a little bit of a on-the-job tune-up. Not bad. New Orleans feels like the right team and place to do it, too. So, yeah, I think the 49ers could go win a game with Mac Jones, but I'd much rather it be Purdy, man. I'd much rather it be Purdy, and so would you, and so would everybody. Another, just out of nowhere, what happened? No one explained it. We just heard about it the next day. And it's so severe, he might miss next week. Okay. Again, when it comes to the injury bugs, other teams are tiny, eensy-weensy little food stands. The 49ers are the Golden Corral. They're an all-you-can-eat buffet for the injury bug. If you are putting Kittle on injured reserve, he will, of course, be designated to return from injured reserve when he's able to. And in the meantime, all I can tell you, Tongas had a good day. Luke Farrell was your big free agent ad. And Braden Willis is on your practice squad. You want to call him up? You do that. You do that. Because it's going to be a while before we see George Kittle. By the way, this is another reason to make sure that Isaac Garendo doesn't develop a level of rust that makes him unplayable like he was in week one for some reason. Get Garendo out there. I think you're going to need him to spell Brian Robinson, and you're going to need Brian Robinson to spell Christian McCaffrey, because Christian McCaffrey is going to have to make up for the fact that George Kittle's not getting any touches. And the minute George Kittle left week one, McCaffrey ended up touching the ball like 30 times. So everything goes together. You know, your neck bone's connected to your shoulder bone. Your thigh bone's connected to your hip bone. And all of these, you know, the usage, the carries, the depending on one guy to make a play when the other guy's not in there, it's all connected, man. It really is. So the 49ers, you know, for a 1-0 team with a game up on their own division, with an easy opponent coming up in week two, they're in a little bit of trouble. And if that doesn't just let you know it's 49ers season again, what possibly could? But the good news, and this cannot be stressed enough, is that Jake Moody has been waived. We don't know if it's going to be Greg Joseph. I think it will be. I hope it will be. But it ain't going to be Jake Moody. And we'll see what his future, you know, holds. We have no idea. No idea if he's going to catch on anywhere else, if he's going to go and sip Mai Tais on a beach for a year. I don't know what is out there for Jake Moody. I don't know who's going to be really interested in signing Jake Moody based on what has happened. Again, he's just not getting the job done. You cannot exist when you're 12 of your last 23 overall. You cannot exist in this league when that's what you've done. Joseph Ehrenberg says, without George and maybe Brock Purdy, what's the record by week six? Well, Brock Purdy isn't expected to miss like a month. Brock Purdy might not play in New Orleans, which also on the Tuesday before that game means he might. If the two of them were gone by week six, you'd be lucky to be 4-2, wouldn't you? If both of them were out in any serious capacity, you'd be lucky. J1 Cal, Moody's career field goals before and after his injury. He was 13 of 14 and then 11 of 20. Yeah, that's a big swing, isn't it? That's a really big swing. He went 60 of 61 on points after touchdown his rookie year. And then he missed a point after touchdown in the Super Bowl. Maybe that's where it started falling apart. I don't know. Injured ankle, ankle injury, in between the heads, soft noodle, soft in the middle. I don't know. Here's the thing. I'm going to be rude about this. He's a kicker. I don't care. There's only one element of a kicker's life that I'm interested in. Is he making the field goals? If the answer is yes, not only will he stay, he will be lauded. We will love that guy. The minute he starts missing field goals, our relationship comes to an end. That's how this works. Kickers are like Vegas call girls. The minute they're not as useful as you need them to be, you move on. Another perfect sip of the day. That's incredible coffee we got working right there. Injury bug snacking. Moody's out of the picture. PWS says, does San Francisco have the best receiving core when healthy? No, not even close. Not even close. The 49ers, when they get DeMarcus Robinson and Brandon Ayuk back, will still be a middle-of-the-road receiving core. But with the right quarterback, you can do an awful lot with that. Poor Jake Meeby. Not Moody even. He's already Jake Meeby. Should he consider a different line of work? No. I mean, he's 23 years old. This is not a time to go giving up on the grand plan. His first professional destination didn't work out. These things happen. It was kind of nuts that the 49ers pinned so much hope to him. But this is what happens when you're foolish enough to draft a kicker in the third round. You start, by the way, the minute you drafted a kicker in the third round, you told me you were getting high on your own supply. You're telling me that you are a fart sniffer. No one else is, your own brand. Oh, my own idea is incredible. Drafting a kicker in the third round. I'm serious. If I were an NFL owner sitting in a war room and we're on the day of the draft and it's the third round and my general manager stands up and says, I'm thinking kicker here. I'm putting my arm around him and I'm walking him outside and I'm asking him, how's things going at home? Is your marriage okay? Because only a fucking lunatic would suggest drafting a kicker in the third round of the NFL draft. Is everything okay at home? Good God. Again, just go get another kicker. Guess what? Let's say Greg Joseph comes in and doesn't kick well. Guess what you do then? You go get another kicker. Guess what? Greg Joseph, if he comes in and he makes his kicks, we won't even talk about him. Won't even talk about him. Greg Joseph, free lunch, baby. No problem. You can hang out as long as you want, as long as you're making your kicks. And the minute you start missing them, and like that, he's gone. Okay? That's how it goes. Come on. Third round kicker. I mean, you lost me right there. So you can actually add now Jake Moody's name to the growing list of failed 49er draft picks, early draft picks. Again, a third round pick. This one didn't work out. From his draft class alone in 2023, the 49ers have already officially said goodbye to Cam Latu, to Ronnie Bell, and now Jake Moody. Duds, duds, duds. By the way, Braden Willis is in that draft class. We'll see if he can get called up now that Kittle's on IR. Is he going to remove himself from the drafted but never did anything from the 49ers list? We'll see. You know, that was a year where they're dealing with, Trey Lance draft picks, and they didn't make a first pick into the third round, and that was Jair Brown. Jair Brown is someone whose career isn't as definitively easy to bet on as it once was. So, I mean, how many first round, early round picks? Yeah, because we asked the question, right? Like, okay, so how many field goals is Jake Moody allowed to miss? How many early premium draft picks is John Lynch allowed to miss? The answer is, as long as the team keeps winning, as long as he keeps making the big trade that kind of works more often than not, he can stick around. There's elements of the 49ers that John Lynch has built that have been fantastic. Just above average production from his earlier draft picks means you probably have already won a Super Bowl. But there's been a ton of swings and misses. So it's not a Moody Tuesday. It's not a Moody Tuesday. It's not a Ruby Tuesday. It's not a Tuesday trifecta. Who's taking Kittle's spot the next few weeks? Farrell or Tongas? A combination of both. And I think you might also see a little Kyle Juszczyk playing tight end as well. So I think it's going to be all hands on deck to replace Kittle in his absence. I think that's pretty easy to bet on. There was a story in the New York Post how players were getting really frustrated with him. And like, as soon as you read that, you knew it was just like, all right, man, you know, Kyle's going to have to make a choice here. Matthew, the fact I don't have to speak about Moody anymore. Kind of fantastic. It's like when Forrest Gump finds out that he invests in an apple. So mama and I don't have to worry about money anymore, which is nice. You know, mama and I don't have to worry about Jake Moody no more, which is nice. So that's good. That's good. I'm glad our Moody nightmare is over. So if you're at church this week, light a candle for George Kittle. Certainly light two candles for Brock Purdy. And maybe light one more candle for Mac Jones, because he could be your starting quarterback going to New Orleans. By the way, there is a fantastic content creator from New Orleans. His name is Hold the Mayo. Hold the Mayo is his handle. Hold the Mayo is his YouTube channel. He is fantastic. He's hysterical. He goes out and he gets red beans and rice all over the state of Louisiana. He's done it like 400 weeks in a row. And I love the guy's a passion about the Saints in New Orleans. And he's going to be joining me tomorrow afternoon. We're going to do a special live stream together to start previewing the 49ers and Saints games with Hold the Mayo, who's, I guess his real name is Jon Snow. Which I'm like, really? Like Jon Snow? Like Game of Thrones? But Mayo is going to be joining me, and I'm really looking forward to that. We're going to do that tomorrow. We're going to have, I believe, a special Wednesday show with Sammy. Sammy can't join us on Thursday, his normally scheduled day of the week to join us. So I think Sammy might be joining us on Wednesday. Special afternoon show with Mayo, previewing the 49ers and Saints game. And I don't know what you plan on doing this evening around 8 o'clock, but I hope you might join me back here on YouTube. Hit like and subscribe if you would. Hit notify, not miss a thing whenever we go live or put up a video. And this evening, we're going to be doing Tuesday Night Live. If you'd like to call in, this is officially a call-in show. We are going to be taking calls. I'm going to be working with a producer to make sure it all goes nice and smoothly. There might even be graphics. Oh my God, what are we up to here? Tonight at 8 o'clock, you can reserve your spot in line to call in by just going to showus.tv. It's totally free. You won't be charged a thing. Join me tonight at 8 o'clock. We're going to be doing a 49er call-in show. I have a feeling a lot of people will be calling in just to dance on poor Jake Moody's grave, but that's what we're going to be doing tonight. So I hope you plan on joining me. It'd be great to have you. It'd be great to hear from you. It'd be great to see you. Video calls. Let's take advantage of that. Let's get to know each other and hang out. All right. So what else we got going on? I think one of the biggest problems with, you know, just our economy, with how businesses are built and how they operate, is that there's no such thing as, hey, man, that's a really good number. Let's be happy with that. If it wasn't a bigger number than the last number, it's kind of a failure. And if it's a bigger number than the last number, well, then by definition, it's a success. Eternal growth, growing no matter what. It's a cruel thing to have been sold because there is no like trajectory of always just going up, 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 up. Eternal growth never comes down, never takes a step back. That doesn't happen. So the NFL, you know, that's as big, like too big to fail. Like the NFL is a monster. And the NFL just did its first ever game on YouTube. Hi, YouTube. It's great to be here on YouTube. Thanks for having me, YouTube. Thank you for being here on YouTube. The Chargers-Chiefs game from Friday night, Chargers-Chiefs on Friday night from Brazil, got 17.3 million global viewers. 17.3 million global viewers. That's a lot of people. That's a pretty good number. For the first game ever being put on YouTube for free, not bad. But it's not as big as like Chargers Chiefs from a few years ago. It wasn't as big as the Netflix Christmas doubleheader. It wasn't as big as some Thursday night Amazon Prime. And those had gatekeeping, price tags built into them where all you needed was to have access to YouTube and you could watch the game. You had your game on Friday night. You know, watching football on Thursday, we'll do it. Watching football on Monday night, we'll do it. Watching football on Sunday night, we'll do it. Watching football all Sunday long, we'll clearly do that. Watching professional football on Friday night is a little, we're not used to it. People probably didn't even know that game was happening on a Friday. Not everybody is sitting around going, what's the schedule? What's the schedule? Like us sickos are. And still, a standalone game on a Friday night after just one game of the year had been played gets 17.3 million viewers, and they're like, ah, it wasn't as big as we thought it was going to be. Still pretty good. Still pretty good. Awful Announcing writes, to further put Friday's Chiefs-Chargers ratings into perspective, it trailed last year's Netflix doubleheader, which got 24 million on Christmas. Again, Christmas. Everybody's sitting around on Christmas, nothing to do but open presents. Of course, those games did better. It's in line with the second most watched Thursday night football game on Amazon Prime's video during the 2024 season. Both of those services, however, are behind paywalls. While the YouTube game was free for anyone with access to the app, they really thought that they were going to get like 30, 50 million viewers. They really did. So they're a little pissed. My advice would be don't be. You know, this is not a fixer-upper. You're not like going to flip this house. The NFL is a long-term investment for YouTube. One data point of kind of a little disappointing should not deter them from being in the NFL business. But just what a bunch of overreacting douchebags we got out there in the media. PWS says Moody's not him. But oh yeah, Sebastian Janikowski round one. We already did that. Excuse me. Joseph Ehrenberg, without George and maybe Brock Purdy, what's the record by week six? I'm going 4-2. 4-2. I don't think you need either guy to beat New Orleans. I don't think you need either guy to beat Jacksonville, although, you know, Jacksonville is much better than anyone thought. I mean, let's slow down on that a little bit. I think you're really going to miss those guys in the Rams game. PWS again with a super saying, does San Francisco have the best receiving core when healthy? Oh, we already did that. The answer is no. Barry, bang, bang. For the ganja jar, there must be a reason for all these chronic injuries. Conditioning, training methods, what the fuck? I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. And believe me, the 49ers have asked themselves this question. What can we do? They've replaced their training staff. I'm sure they've tried new philosophies and warming up and conditioning and all sorts of things. Football's just an injury sport. But man, it's an injury sport for the 49ers more than any other team in the sport. People who think that Brandon Ayuk will do anything this season are clowns. I totally disagree with that. I think Brandon Ayuk will hopefully come on back and play very well for the 49ers. I don't think that him coming back just damaged goods, washed up bum are in the cards. He's better than that. This guy was a Pro Bowler. Brandon Ayuk was really good. And then he became really a big pain in the ass. And then he became hurt. And when you're out of sight, you're out of mind. And then he became kind of persona non grata. So everyone's down on Brandon Ayuk. Believe me, you are one Brandon Ayuk touchdown reception away from being welcome back, number 11. We love you. Bill M says, I wasn't against the Moody pick, but I know you and Lund hated it. I was wrong, but Kyle did not want this pick. Moody is like a box of chocolates. Oh, no, Kyle did want it. This is Kyle's team. Kyle is in charge. That was Kyle's decision. Kyle is Johnny reach too far in the drafts. Everyone that Kyle has reached on usually is a bust. And here's the thing. Moody's not like a box of chocolates. The draft is. The draft is the box of chocolates. So while you are hoping to get the right piece of chocolate, what's important is that you draft the right piece of chocolate, and the right piece of chocolate during the NFL draft is a football player. And this is me bringing you back to the reminder that kickers on football teams are not football players. They're kickers. You never draft a kicker. You run into one at the end of the night in the bar. You get the number. You fuck. If it's good, you're in a relationship. If it's not, you go out to the bar and you get another number. You don't ever catch feelings for a kicker. They're like strippers. The minute one falls off the pole, bring me one that doesn't. I ain't here for no relationships with kickers. And by the way, neither is Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan will tell you, I don't even talk to my kickers. Maybe he should talk to the next one. Maybe he should walk up to Greg Joseph. He's going to be the replacement and say, I'm sorry I let you go. I shouldn't have done that. Fuji Simeon says, if you're Moody's agent, what do you tell him right now? What you tell him right now is get to work. You know, welcome to the fork in the road of your career. And there are two ways to go on any fork in the road. You can either suck it up, buttercup, and go get the job done, or you can be a total pussy, and that's the last we'll hear of you. I really hope that Jake Moody prescribes to the suck it up, buttercup path and resurrects a career. Again, I have nothing against Jake Moody other than he missed too many field goals for the 49ers, which means he can't be a 49ers anymore. That's how that goes. You know, if your agent You tell him, hey, man, you're only 23 years old. You've got a 10-year career still in front of you. Get to work. See you tonight, Damon. Raider, a.k.a. the Fighting Pete Carrolls. I am really hoping you're going to be there tonight, Jesse. Thank you very much. Joe Sullivan says it's time for Lynch to be held accountable for all of the personnel mistakes. If not for Brock, they would have all been fired, and I'm tired of it. There is absolutely no doubt that you're looking at a new regime. Had Brock Purdy not been the miracle that saved everybody? He did. Brock Purdy has saved this team, its ability to compete. He saved Kyle Shanahan's job. He saved John Lynch's job. Brock Purdy might as well be football Jesus to a few guys with the 49ers, because but for him, they do not live. So, yeah, what they went through with Trey Lance would have been enough to have sunk them had they not found Brock Purdy. Joe, you're spot on. Spot on. Lots of supers today. Thank you very, very much. I really appreciate that. It is wonderful to have you here. Please hit like and subscribe. Our goal, and it's a big, bold goal, is to be at 50,000 subs by the bye week. That's going to take aggressive expansion. So we are going to need you to call a friend, another 49er fan, another football fan, another adult who likes sports, not some just gum-flapping kid who just wants to talk shit in a chat room and be a troll. That's not what we're doing over here. We're trying to have real conversations like grown-ups about sports. If you think that would appeal to anyone you know, word-of-mouth advertising is the greatest advertising there is in the world. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell an enemy about Damon Bruce Plus, and I hope you like and subscribe. I hope you maybe become a member. By the way, my wife Jillian just concocted some new merch in the merch store. You want to pick up something new? We got a little something for the ladies. We got some new, cups or tumblers or what are you, the koozies. Yeah, we got koozies. And boy, I really hope that you plan on joining us at the Dubliner on October 4th for Plus Mania. I think it's 7 now, Plus Mania 7 at 4:20 at the Dubliner West Portal in San Francisco. As always, I want you to eat at Ike's. And when you are having fun around a football game this year, I want you to have fun over on Sleeper. It's America's fastest growing app. Check it out. You can come up with your own parlays. You can put them together. You can win up to 100 times your bet if you really want to get crazy. And right now, just click on the link that is in the description of this video and get a $100 deposit match up to $100 when you use promo code Damon and you sign up for Sleeper. Go ahead and do so. Again, my first Sleeper play of the year did not come in winner, winner, chicken dinner, but I had fun doing it. I really did. McCaffrey, an anytime touchdown, that didn't happen. Pearsall, you know what? Over 3.5 receiving yards, that did happen. But then I had Sam Darnold. I took the under on his rushing yards, and he had a 9-yard scramble there, and so that sunk me too. But I had fun. I had fun. You can have fun over on Sleeper. Please do. Please sign up and have a great time. By the way, sign up at showus.tv for our call-in show at 8 o'clock West Coast time tonight on YouTube. Join me. I hope you do. We'll have that studio up in just a little bit. Meanwhile, thanks to all of you for being here. We got one more super coming in. This is from Joseph Sullivan. Oh, wait a minute. I should get this promo down, right? Hold on. There you go. It's me again. Where's the standard that they always talk about? Yeah, I mean, it's funny how, and I've said this about Steve Kerr and the Warriors too. Steve Kerr applies standards to rookies that he doesn't apply to other guys. When I think you should be a little looser with rookies and let the mistakes happen because you're all growing. I think the 49ers do have a good standard and a good culture, but they absolutely lied to themselves about Jake Moody, and whatever convictions they had about them, obviously they didn't have that much conviction in them. Vince Vargas just shouting out the JJ Raider ganja jar. Absolutely. It's behind me, a little bit out of focus, but there it is. Right above my pointer finger, the JJ Raider ganja jar. Smash that like button. Thank you, Joe. Eat at Ike's. Thank you, Joe. I do agree. Konnichiwa, Joe G. So good to see you. Joe saying, first we get to 50, then 60, then 69, bro. Yeah, that is the way it works. Isaac says, are you still on 95.7? No, haven't been for years, and clearly you haven't listened to the radio in a while, because I haven't been on in a while. The problem with radio is no one listens anymore. It's why they can't afford to actually pay talented people to be on it anymore. Radio is a dying medium. Joe, I would even suggest radio is a dying extra large. But ump bump. YouTube, baby. You know it, Joe. And it's good to have you here. I hope you plan on coming back tonight for our call-in show at 8 p.m. Tomorrow, we will, of course, go live, I believe, with my friend Sam Batesh at 11, as we normally do, 11 West Coast time. And then a little bit later on, we will be doing a Saints 49ers preview with Hold the Mayo from New Orleans. And then we'll see how the week plays out as it moves along. I think we need John Lund back this week at some point in time today, or some point in time this week. By the way, Giants and Diamondbacks happening tonight. Giants happened last night, and they happened well. The Giants appointed themselves well last night. They look good. They won game one of this home series against the Diamondbacks. It's going to be Zach Gallen, who, by the way, owns the Giants. Like, Zach Gallen is Cy Young when he pitches against the Giants. Zach Gallen versus Robbie Ray. The Giants are two games back over 500 now. And how these next two games go against the Diamondbacks matters, because it's the Dodgers here on Friday. So the price of poker is going to go up against a better opponent. Handle your business against the Diamondbacks. See what you can do against the Dodgers when they get here over this weekend. Then we'll huddle up on Monday and see how it all looks. By the way, the magic number, not that there's like a Giants magic number, not that magic number, but the goal is 5 runs. The Giants this season, when they score 5 runs, are 45-12. 45-12 when they score 5 runs. So that's the mission. Score 5 runs, you're a 45-12 baseball team. That's not bad. By the way, a lot of baseball teams are successful when they score 5 runs. So that's really, you know, we didn't just discover uranium or anything like that. But 5 runs is a magic number. Steve says, I thought Damon was friends with them. Friends with who? Friends with who? 510 Steve. You mean the people who work at 95.7 The Game? I am friends with them. I hold no ill will towards a single radio host. I encourage all of them to get every last dollar out of that well that they can extract. Good luck to all of them. I wish radio would bounce back. I really do. I just don't know if that world exists. So I wish everybody the best of luck. But yeah, anyone who's on air at either sports station, I'm not rooting against them at all. I want everyone to have success. But it seems they have chosen a life without me. So like I said to Jake Moody, bonsoir, good evening. I will do my own thing now. You go your way. I'll go my way. We part friends. And oh, by the way, I can't help but notice that me just working from my little studio downstairs is having the same amount, if not more, traction than major corporate radio stations here in the city of San Francisco. We got more subs over here than KNBR has, which, by the way, should be a fireable offense for whoever is in charge of that at KNBR, but that person probably already got laid off. And that's what sucks. You know, where have all the cowboys gone? Now I'm doing Paula Cole songs. How about that for a good poll, right? Paula Cole. Remember that song? Where have all the cowboys gone? Ah! That was big when I was in college. The thing was on all the fucking time. Okay. We got a lot of people talking about who they like, who they listen to, blah, blah, blah. That's great. That's good. Again, I'm not rooting against anyone. By the way, Alice 97.3. Oh, yeah. You know, Alice was straight up licking Paula Cole's pussy. I mean, that was, yeah, that was, there's no doubt. No doubt. Yeah. All the girls love Paula. Yeah. Hand banana. No doubt. How about Kim? I think that song was about to play, first to play on Alice. It's that old. Kim, a radio lifer. She would know. Again, I need to start showing up at trivia nights where the only topic is, you know, like adult contemporary radio. You wouldn't believe how much I know about AC radio formats and just, you know, rock, classic rock formats. I was a radio junkie for 20 years. I put that shit in my veins. And now look at me in rehab. All right. Okay. Are you ready? Here we go. Today in history. As always, we begin with happy birthdays. Happy 65th birthday to Hugh Grant. Do you remember when Hugh Grant got pulled over and he had a transvestite hooker with him who looked like Marvin Hagler in a wig? And he goes on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and Jay Leno's like, "What are you thinking?" And Hugh's just like, and he got away with it. That's how charming Hugh Grant was. Hugh Grant was just like, oh, no problem. Hey, you go ahead and pick up all the trainings you want. The only dick I'm worried about is mine. Happy birthday, 59th birthday to the Sandman. Adam Sandler turns 59 years old today. And all I can tell you is that I was bored 2 weekends ago. I put on Happy Gilmore 2, and I stayed with it just to see if there was any redeeming quality to be found in it at all. And the answer is there is not. That is awful. Happy Gilmore 2 is a pile of dog shit. It's awful. It's the least funny movie maybe out there right now. There isn't a single smile to be cracked. There's no element of nostalgia that makes that work. It's awful. Like, Sophie's Choice is more fun to watch than Happy Gilmore 2. And that's a woman deciding which of her children goes to the gas chamber in a fucking, you know, concentration camp. Sophie's Choice is funnier than Happy Gilmore 2. Happy birthday, Adam Sandler, 59 years old. Happy 50th birthday to Michael Bublé. He's like a crooner, a singer, Michael Bublé. Okay, here we go. By the way, today in 1776, the Continental Congress officially named the United States. Today it became the United States. Today they chose the name. That's good. They went with a good name. Today in 1789, the Bill of Rights got approved. I believe they're trying to retract that now. Either way, in 1850, today in 1850, California. Happy birthday. You became the 31st state of the union today, California, in 1850. Believe it or not, today in 1917, the first use of OMG, oh my God, was ever used, and it was in a letter to Winston Churchill. Somebody put OMG into a letter in 1917? Who knew? Today in 1926, the National Broadcasting Company was officially founded by RCA. So there you go. The death of radio probably began in that moment. How about this? We've been talking about the injury bug. Like, there's no bug that actually bit someone and they got injured. The first case of a computer bug was reported today in 1947 at the Harvard Mark II computer at Harvard University. This is when computers were the size of floors on buildings, and the bug in the machine was literally a moth. There was a moth that fell into the mechanics of the machine, and that's why today the word bug is used to describe something wrong with a computer. How about that? Today, in 1956, Elvis Presley debuted on the Ed Sullivan Show. Go ask your grandparents about that. It was a very big deal. Today, in 1971, the Attica prison riot happened in upstate New York. 1,200 inmates revolted. 10 hostages died. 29 inmates died. And if you've ever seen A Dog Day Afternoon, that's, you got Al Pacino in front of the bank going, Attica, Attica. That's what that is from Dog Day Afternoon. You want to talk about something that didn't age well, thanks to what Bill Cosby ended up becoming famous for, but Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids debuted today in 1972 on CBS. You don't see a lot of Fat Albert anymore. You don't even see the Cosby Show on TV anymore. That's how bad Bill screwed things up at the end there. I mean, I remember picture pages. Do you remember picture pages? Time to get your picture pages. Open up your pens and your pencil. I remember picture pages with Bill Cosby. By the way, today in 1990, American tennis player Pete Sampras defeated Andre Agassi to win the U.S. Open. When the U.S. Open was actually won by someone from the U.S. What a concept. By the way, today in 2015, and yesterday was the day that she passed away, but today in 2015, Elizabeth II became the longest reigning monarch in British history, surpassing Victoria's reign of 63 years, 216 days. That's when Elizabeth became the OG. Again, I don't know how we determine these things, but today is National Steak a Poivre Day, so Pepper Steak Day. Mwah, I love steak a poivre. It's great. Great steaks usually don't need much sauce on them, but a poivre is a sauce that we will go with. Today's also Wiener Schnitzel Day. So whether you go to Wiener Schnitzel or you have like an official pound it out itself, actual Wiener Schnitzel, I don't care. Go get a corn dog or some Wiener Schnitzel. Enjoy. Thank you so much for being with us. Jake Moody, good luck, buddy. I really mean it. Good luck to you. Thank you, everyone, for watching. I hope you join me for the call-in show tonight. You can sign up over at showus.tv. Thank you for being a part of today's show. Thank you for watching. Thank you for your super chats. Thank you for supporting the channel. It means so much to me that you do. We'll be back tomorrow live at 11 a.m. West Coast time. We'll be back tonight live 8 p.m. West Coast time. We will start previewing 49ers and Saints tomorrow. Sam Batesh, I believe, coming up tomorrow. So it's a really fun time here. Please like and subscribe. Thank you for being part of this. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.